Subcommittee. Mr. Weisel, he's prepared. I know we're going to ask you to start with SB 619, if you don't mind, and we'll proceed. And once we have a quorum, we'll
Mr. Chairman, of course I don't mind. I'm quite the contrary. I'm very grateful to you. Thank you for this opportunity to hear SB 6. Which one am I hearing first? 619, perfect. Thank you. Yes, this bill, first of all, thank you for the proposed amendments. We are taking the amendments provided on page 4 and 5 of the analysis. And thank you for that. This is a very important bill because it helps people that live in a Promise Zone area, Promise Zone being the federal program established by former President Obama to create reinvestment in underserved and underinvested communities. This bill will allow there to be a rent reporting pilot program for people who rent to help them establish a credit rating. For some reason, you know, credit ratings are only provided to people who pay a mortgage, but people who decide to rent and prefer to rent oftentimes are not given credit for their timely payments. And our efforts are try to help people establish credit. Credit is oftentimes the difference between people being able to finance the start of a business or the purchase of an automobile or some essential need that is important to their prosperity. And, you know, we've seen that especially low-income people tend to not have opportunities to get access to credit. And this is our opportunity to do that for our community. According to the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, 45% of individuals in high poverty neighborhoods are credit invisible or unscorable. 60 million U.S. adults have credit scores lower than 650. 50 million people have no credit scores at all due to little or no borrowing history. Rent reporting is when tenants' monthly rental payments are furnished to a consumer credit bureau so they can be included in their credit report. For most tenants, rent is the largest payment they make each month, and especially in California, with our rent rates growing as much as they have in recent years. And a housing shortage is also creating just undue burdens in the people of our state. And they make payments every month without receiving any kind of credit benefit or a traditional or that a traditional mortgage holder would receive. So this bill would establish that program. It would be an opt-in program. It would be optional for the people that participate, including the people that host these programs. Again, our goal is to create access to credit, and I ask you to help me establish this here in the state of California within our Promise Zone areas in California, and we have a few witnesses here that'd like to testify, if you allow that, Mr. Chairman.
For your witnesses testify, I'm going to ask the Secretary to call a roll so we can establish a quorum.
Senator Bradford.
Present.
Bradford here. Chang.
Here.
Chang here. Caballero?
Here.
Caballero here. Durazo?
Here.
Durazo here. Hueso?
Here.
Hueso here. Morrell?
Here.
Morrell here. Portantino? We have six.
Members, of quorum has been established. Senator, you can continue with your witness. And for the members who just arrived, we're on SB 619. First witness, if you're ready, you may present.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Jessica Cuevas. I'm a community organizer with Mutual Housing California, an affordable housing nonprofit. And for the past year and a half, we have contracted with Rent Plus to report on-time rental payments to 2 out of 3 major credit bureaus. And this partnership took us about 3 months to develop and implement in about 120 multifamily housing communities. And We found that prior to the program, 40% of our enrollees didn't know anything about checking their credit report or about their credit score, and now 63.5% of the enrollees know how to check their credit score regularly. And since we started, we have 78 participants from our three communities, two in Sacramento and one in Davis. And through this partnership, resident members have been able to see an immediate boost in their credit scores once they enroll in the program, because now their on-time rent payments are being reported, and it dates back 2 years. And our data shows that the average increase in scores is 40 points. And about 11% of enrollees have been able to establish credit for the first time.
That's me.
Yes, please.
Hi, I'm Andrea. I'm a resident from Mutual Housing. I enrolled in this program a year and a half ago when it started because I wanted to argue to get it to our apartment first, and we did. So I have a thing, particularly in this program, young people can build their credit. We have a few in our community that are 21 that are now accessing the program, and they're building their credit. And then we also have in Davis two community residents that are over 18 that are now building their credit and maximizing it so they can do better things with their lives. And this program also gives other people that are restricted income to build their credit, and given that they have financially restrained, like other people in my community, a lady that I know, her credit went up 120 points when she signed up because she's been paying her rent for the last 2 years on time, every month, because that's one thing we have to do, we have to pay it. And then my credit came up 65 points because I was trying to keep my credit good because it was bad a long time ago, but it's been doing better. And with this, we pair with financial literacy coaches so we understand what's going on, and we have gained new skills, and we could dispute errors or mistakes that are going on against us if we have any, and then how to remove the errors from our credit, and also we're more knowledgeable about identity theft. And I wanted to say thank you, Chairman, and committee members, too.
Additional witnesses in support of SB 619. Hearing seeing none, any witnesses in opposition? All right, hearing seeing none, I'm gonna bring it back to the committee. Is there any questions by the committee? Senator Caballero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have any questions. I just wanna say that I really appreciate Senator Wesso authoring this bill, and I really appreciate the testimony. This is a really simple way to prove that people's credit is actually better than what you think it should be. And you know, part of the challenge when you have a low credit score is that then everything becomes really expensive. Any kind of loan, any kind of credit, anything. And so I want to join you as a co-author. When it's appropriate, I'd like to make the motion, but I thank you for being here because it's good to have the on the ground. It's worked, and here's how it's worked. So thank you for both for coming on a real hot day when it's real busy too. So
yes,
and hanging around.
Senator. Yeah. Thank you. Madam Vice Chair.
Yes, I also want to thank the author for this bill, and at the appropriate time, I'd like to sign on as co-author as well. Thank you.
Question. I came in a little bit late. I apologize. On the credit scores, so you're a renter, and then the landlord reports to the various credit agencies, right? Now, so have you guys already worked out a deal? Will this be mandatory that the apartment, the landlords have to report to the credit agencies, or does the credit reporting agencies call the owners of the building on these, or is this a...
Now, your question is it mandatory?
Yeah, on the credit report, or will it be mandatory under this program?
Now, it would only be, it's an optional program for the people, the tenants to participate in it. It's mandatory for 50 units and above in promise zones. All the other smaller units would It would be optional.
Okay, that's all. I didn't know that. Thank you.
Yeah, it's an optional program, as I understand. My only question would be, are there other states who have tried this or that?
No, but there are other pilots of this kind of program, nothing that is actually a state law.
Got it. All right, I too want to thank the author for introducing this measure, and I really appreciate your work with both myself and the committee of getting a vehicle here. I appreciate you accepting the amendments, and I'll just state those if that's okay. The amendments suggest the following: delete the requirement that DBO collect and analyze the rent reporting data, require DBO to contract with an independent third party to analyze the data and prepare a study for submission to the DBO, provide a specificity to both DBO and to the third party regarding exactly what methods to use to conduct the study and exactly what questions to answer. And fourth, require DBO to post the report on the internet website and provide it to the legislature a year prior to the bill sunset date. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. That being the case, we have a do pass as amended to probes. And if I can get a motion. Oh, yes, it's already been moved by Senator Caballero. So, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Motion is due pass as amended to appropriation. Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Bradford, aye. Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Caballero?
Aye.
Caballero, aye. Durazo?
Aye.
Durazo, aye. Hueso?
Aye.
Hueso, aye. Morrell? Portantino?
Measure has 5 votes. We'll keep the roll open for those absent members. Next up is SB 528. Thank you, ladies. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you very much.
No, he's not.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. SB 528 is a bill that would establish the Infrastructure and Economic Development Bank Commission and place the iBank under the supervision of the commission. At the outset, I'd like to commit to adopting amendments that would address the issues raised in comment 12. Specifically, I'm willing to adopt amendments which would create a task force to study the workability and viability potential costs and estimate a time frame to implement the approach outline of SB 528 to establish the infrastructure bank. In addition, this commission would be tasked with producing a recommendation to the legislature, and it is my understanding that my staff will continue working with the Senate banking staff to adopt amendments in the Senate Appropriations Committee that would include a provision which would trigger future action in the event the commission determines this plan is viable and worthy of adoption. According to recent estimates, California will need to invest more than $700 billion over the next decade in public facilities to serve a growing population, upgrading school, university buildings, maintaining highways and public transit systems, and also making our water system adequate, reliable, and of course, sustainable. Financing costs, including issuance fees, interest payments, at a near term of at a 4% rate, plus transaction fees issued by commercial banks would add almost another $700 million for a typical 30-year time frame. That total could be higher if interest rates go up. This is a troublesome number, but it gives us an idea of the magnitude that financing costs cost our local governments. Other countries have attempted to address this issue. Germany's public bank, the KfW, is larger than the World Bank, with assets of $600 billion as of 2016. KfW has helped fund Germany's green revolution by offering very low interest rates ranging from 1 to 3%. A California public banking option would provide services only to a limited of qualified municipalities and JPAs that have minimal risk of default or the need to restructure loans. The California Infrastructure and Economic Development Bank is the state of California's only general purpose financing authority. The iBank has 20 years of experience in making prudent infrastructure loans at below municipal bond rates. As of July 2018, iBank has financed over $38 billion in infrastructure and economic development projects. The iBank, however, cannot accept deposits. The state of California has approximately $200 billion a year in deposits. These deposits can be leveraged to provide these very important loans to our state at very low interest rates, which would not only earn our state a return on our investment, but also help get access to capital for these municipalities at very low rates. So despite these limitations, the iBank experienced steady demand for the loan program that they offer, which with 98 inquiries in fiscal year 2016-2017 for nearly $573 million in infrastructure and economic development projects. Imagine what we could do if that bank had money. I have with me John Batiste. He is a retired banker with over 40 years of experience in asset protection, profitability, and asset growth. John was the former regional vice president of National Bank of California, and he's a wealth of knowledge in not only starting banks, beginning banks, but how a state bank could better serve the people of California, with the permission of the chair.
Yes. Yes, I am. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for allowing me to come today. It's a pleasure. It's my pleasure. I've been looking into public banking for the last 3 years, actually since the beginning of 2016. I'll give you just a little bit of my background in banking. As stated, I have over 40 years of banking, mostly, at 99% of it, was business banking. I'm not a retail banking officer. I've consulted with most recently with attorneys looking to buy a bank. I've also worked with people outside of the state of California in establishing new banks. In today's world, we generally look to acquire existing banks because we like the charters. In addition to banking, I've spent years working with nonprofits such as the Fair Housing, Women's Care Cottage, San Fernando Valley Legal Foundation, and the American Cancer Society. On these entities, I've either been board members, presidents, or chairman of the boards. So I have some knowledge of nonprofit entities. I have worked with presidents on three major banks in turning around banks. We had one bank that, a multi-billion dollar bank that had a loss of over $11 million. We converted that bank to nominal profit and we sold the bank. So we have some experience in how banks operate, what it takes to make them be successful. I've latched on, and I use that loosely, to the thought of converting the iBank because it's something that's already there. It's not something you have to start from scratch. As I said, most bankers now are looking to acquire existing banks because it's just cheaper and it works a lot easier for them. The iBank has over 15 years, to my knowledge, nearly 20 years of operating successfully in lending to primarily municipalities for infrastructure improvement. I do agree that based on my understanding that it will be in the billions of dollars, the hundreds of billions of dollars to do what needs to be done for the state of California to bring our infrastructure up to where it should be and to add to what is needed in the state. One of the reasons I like the iBank is because if you look, if we were able to just save a quarter of a percent, let's just say an eighth of a percent per annum on a loan, that saves us over $1 million. And you multiply that over a 20-year loan, that's a substantial savings. I believe that that can be done. The present state of the iBank is that it borrows money through bonds and so forth to support its activities. It has a restriction on its capital. Just examining the financial statements of the previous year, it could have doubled what it made if the restrictions were not there. And therefore, I believe that if the state capitalized the iBank properly, it can not only do well, it can do very well over a relatively short period of time. The biggest hiccup with doing a commercial bank, converting the iBank to a commercial bank, is the lack of deposits to support the need for funds. I believe that can be done. I have seen the letter from the SEIU. They've also attended meetings that I have been a part of where they've expressed their support of a public bank. I've also had other unions, major unions, participate in some of the forums that I've been a part of, and they also support the idea of a public bank for the simple reason not only the number I gave you, eighth of a point, which is just a guess, knowing how banks operate, it can be more. They also see the fees and charges that come from dealing with your normal commercial bank. Those fees and charges could be eliminated or go towards the state of California. The idea is not to have a nonprofit. It will be a for-profit bank. The major difference is the profit comes to the state of California. The fact that banks are obviously being successful, we believe that the iBank could also be successful.
Thank you. Witnesses in support of this measure, please come forward.
David Quintana on behalf of Democracy Collaborative. We're proud to be the sponsors of the bill.
Thank you. Any additional witnesses in support? Seeing, hearing none. Witnesses in opposition?
Jason Lane, California Bankers Association. We'd very much like to acknowledge the author and committee staff and the committee in working with us on amendments to the measure. We think the recent amendments accepted, namely the task force to create the workability scope document, is a step in the right direction. And pending review of what the language looks like relative to a trigger to move forward, we reserve the right to potentially remove our opposition to the measure.
Thank you. Next witness.
Margaret Gladstein on behalf of the California Community Banking Network. We are similar position as California Bankers Association. We appreciate the direction this bill is moving. Look forward to working with the author on his measure and want to review the trigger language, but hope to get to a neutral position as well. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Leah Silverthorne, California Chamber of Commerce. I have to align myself with the comments made by the California Bankers Association. Thanks.
Thank you. Any additional witnesses? Seeing, hearing none, bringing it back to committee. Any questions by the committee? Seeing none. Yes.
Again, just a comment. I appreciate the opposition looking at the amendments, and I think this is the right direction to go. I like the idea. I served on the iBank, and it has unrealized potential, and the devil's in the details. So I think having the task force to go through a feasibility and look at what the bank would do, how it would operate, and what the kind of the parameters would be is a really good thing. So I'm going to support this because I think it's going in the right direction. And then, you know, hopefully the language gets worked out so that there can be widespread support.
Thank you, Senator Durazo.
Thank you, and I want to thank the author and also the chair for moving us in the right direction, because there's no doubt about everything that you say, the benefits that could come from it. I can only imagine some of the complexities that are involved in turning this into what we would like it to be for the people of California. I very much believe in our dollars, our tax dollars should be used for the common good, and I think this is another very ambitious, but I'm sure doable example of what we could do, how we can invest our own tax dollars for the benefit of the common good. So thank you.
Thank you. Any additional comments? I too want to thank the author of this measure. I know we had a lot of discussion going back and forth on not in supporting the concept, because we agree that the concept is great, but in the details of how do we make it work, how do we make it work in a time frame and compile something that is deliverable to the state of California. We all clearly agree there's great benefit here. I guess my only question, asking your witness, what do you feel is the time frame that it would take? Say the study comes back, it says, A, you can go from the time you can be up and running and serving as a depository.
Well, the fact that the iBank is already doing one half of what banks do is a great incentive for us to look at this. There are entities such as the Jack Henry companies that can step in, that they've been doing this for middle market and smaller banks for years. I think once, if you're asking about the time frame after completion, I think the bank will be in a position, subject to approvals, to start making money immediately. The depository side will take 2 to 3 years in order to get that rolling, but that can be done in a number of different ways. One, participating with other banks, community banks, and having accounts with those banks under the name of the state of California.
Thank you. Again, I want to thank the author, and it's my understanding that you've accepted the amendments as described on page 10, comment 12, and the amendments suggested would give us the detail we need to figure out what it would take in terms of, again, the task, the time, and money to convert the iBank into a depository institution. We've also discussed adding the requirement that the task force return a recommendation when it submits its report, which I'm happy to agree to as well. So thank you for that. And finally, you and I have discussed your desire to see some sort of trigger added to the bill, which would be pulled if the task force delivers a positive recommendation. I've suggested to you, and you've agreed, to add to trigger language in the Appropriations Committee and give both our staff time to work on language with council. Is that correct?
That sounds very accurate.
Okay, thank you. So with that all being stated, we're looking for a recommendation. We have a due pass to amendment, so we need a motion, please. It's been properly moved. Madam Secretary, please call the roll on SB 528.
Motion is due pass as amended to appropriations. Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Bradford, aye. Chang? Caballero?
Aye.
Caballero, aye. Durazo?
Aye.
Durazo, aye. Hueso?
Aye.
Hueso, aye. Morrell? Portantino?
The measure has 4 votes. A significant number to pass, so we're good there. So thank you, Senator Weiso. Next up, Mr. Jones. Senator Jones, when you're ready, you're presenting SB 540.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the opportunity to present today. I'm presenting SB 540. A split dollar life insurance policy allows the cost and benefit of a permanent life insurance policy to be shared. California law allows nonprofits to offer these unique policies to their officers as an additional benefit that ends up being cost neutral to the nonprofit. I'd like to accept the suggested amendments on page 4 of the committee analysis and thank the committee staff for their diligent work on this bill, ensuring that the arrangement is indeed cost neutral for the nonprofit. Current law requires this arrangement to hold both the cash surrender value and the death benefit as security. However, this requirement takes away the benefit to the officer since they are not able to utilize any of the cash value of the policy since it is required to be held as security for the arrangement. Senate Bill 540 slightly adjusts the value that is required to be held as security on a split dollar life insurance policy under a loan regime to either the death benefit or the cash surrender value or both. This bill gives nonprofits in California a recruitment and retention tool to compete in the market, in the employment market. I respectfully ask for aye vote, and I think I have one, maybe two or three witnesses today.
Thank you. When your witnesses are ready.
Chair and members, John Sharikin at the Association of California Life and Health Insurance Companies. The bill's pretty straightforward, but an important one, and I think it's one that'll actually help with retention of employees in the nonprofit world. So for that, we respectfully ask for aye vote.
Great. Additional witnesses in support.
Mr. Chair, members, John Norwood is on behalf of Pacific Life and Northwestern Mutual, which are members of the Association of California Life and Health Association, in support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Sherry McHugh, representing the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors, in support of the bill.
Great. Any additional witnesses in support? Seeing, hearing none. Witnesses in opposition? None to be seen or heard from. I bring it back to the committee. Any questions by the committee members? Madam Vice Chair.
Man, it took me a while to get here on your bill.
Great. And also, I want to thank the author for taking the amendments, and the amendments close the loophole by ensuring that if the cash surrender value of the insurance policy is used to secure the loan made by the nonprofit corporation to the policyholder, that cash surrender value of the policy is always large enough to fully repay the loan for the life of the policy. Is that correct?
That's correct. We put that in there as a test to make sure you'd catch it. You got it.
Got it. I appreciate it. We have a motion by Senator Chang. We have a due pass to the floor. Madam Secretary, please call the roll on SB 540.
Motion is due pass as amended.
As amended, yes, to the floor.
Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Bradford, aye. Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Caballero?
Aye.
Caballero, aye. Durazo?
Aye.
Durazo, aye. Hueso?
Aye.
Hueso, aye. Morrell?
Aye.
Morrell, aye. Portantino?
That measure has 6 votes. It's out of committee. Members, that concludes our business for today, and we stand adjourned. What? Oh, Morrell. I'm sorry. Yes, I will. I'm going to lift a call on SB 619. Madam Secretary, call the absent members.
Motion is due pass as amended to appropriations. Senator Morrell?
Aye.
Morrell, aye.
Thank you. That measures out 6-0. Now, members, we stand adjourned. We concluded our business for today. Thank you. Thank you, Larry.